Been a great day. Been a great day. In fact, it's always great in Greensboro. Hallelujah. For the Lord is here. He's in this place. Glory to God. I want to read some in the 4th chapter of Joshua and then the 10th chapter of Joshua. Fourth chapter, fifth chapter, and 10th chapter. Then I want to go over to the New Testament. Appreciate the good dinner. Appreciate everything today. It's been wonderful. How I have been honored. How much it means to me, only the Lord really knows. This is Joshua 4, verse 19. That's in the Old Testament, Brother Granberry. This is what you need, a smart evangelist, isn't it? That's all you need. The people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what meaneth these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. Did the same thing to Jordan as he did to the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. The hand of the Lord. Let me put that down here on page 5. That's what I'm going to close with, the hand of the Lord. And I don't want to forget it and didn't know it was in that one. Amen. Put up there, hand of the Lord. I write a note to myself. Don't y'all let me forget it now. Okay? You going to help me preach? Okay. Hallelujah. That the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Okay, let's go to the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him. Against him. With his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his, what? Servant. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Chapter 10, verse 10. Well, let's go to verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came up unto them suddenly. Suddenly. I like the word, whatever happened to suddenly? I'm going to preach on that some. Whatever happened to suddenly? Acts 2 said, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. I believe Malachi said, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple. We don't have much suddenly around Pentecost anymore. I like the word suddenly. Amen. I like it. Used to like when a preacher hit a high note and be somebody stand up in the congregation and give a message to them. Somebody over here to interpret, man, just change the order of that service just right now. Well, people go, preachers would go nuts if you did that nowadays. Right. Yeah. Right. I'm telling you. I was at a camp meeting in Oklahoma and I had some fellow from back east that read his sermon. I sat right there and watched him. He'd read page 1. You look worse than I am. Page 2. Page 3. For about 45 minutes. He closed to make his altar call, and some old lady in the back got up and got about halfway back, started giving a message in tongues. And boy, he like lost his teeth. Shut up, God! Ain't time for a message now! I'm trying to make my altar call! No more interruptions, please! Only time I ever felt the Lord, and that old lady got up and started talking in tongues. Whatever happened to suddenly? Boy, it made going to church exciting. Amen. You didn't know which way. I'll tell you. We get full of the Holy Ghost, our eyes glass over, you know, and they can't tell which way we're going to jump next. I like that. I've been in this thing 41 years. I never had to call anybody down for getting wild. Because I like it wild. Amen. You know, some people, what if it gets out of control? So what? And they said, they have turned the world upside down. Come down to our church, too. Come down to our town, too. Men needs turning upside down. When you get it turned, what you thought upside down is right side up. Turned over to start out with. Amen. We got it turned around. It was right side up. That God got through dealing with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, we need to make room for the Lord. Glory to God. We need to encourage people, but we don't encourage people much. You know, we just inadvertently we keep people from obeying the Lord. You know, we say this, Holy Ghost wasn't given so you could have a good time. Well, that's a lie. That's the reason why it was given, so you could have a good time. So the Holy Ghost given so you'd have power to be a witness. I said, well, look, if you'd stay here in the church rejoicing about 2 o'clock this morning, in the morning, you wouldn't have no trouble witnessing. When you went on a job, I say this, my hand raised up. And the little girl, Oklahoma, I forgot the Lord blessed like that. Remember that little girl, is that blonde little girl got such a blessing over that old church? Remember? Over there, we went 3 weeks, and we'd have one service close at about 9:30, 9:45. Then we'd have another service. About 25 or 30 people stay, and we'd stay at 11 or 12 o'clock. One guy had to go work at 2 o'clock. He left, come back 3 times. I don't know who that was. One little girl, she was so bashful, she couldn't even look in the eye when she shook hands with you. But she got to laughing. And I sat right there and laughed till I cried. You talk about getting entertained, the Holy Ghost will entertain you. Yeah, I have never been entertained like I've been entertained in the house of God. Hallelujah. And so last week up in Oklahoma, the little round-faced Brenda was living by herself, trying to raise three kids, make a living for them. Glory to God. And she come out all there and got to laughing and crying in the spirit. She laughed and cried. Everybody else, they wasn't much interested in it. They went off and left her and went on home. I stayed right there and watched the whole thing. She said, Brother Gibson, I went in on my job the next morning. I said, what happened to you? Amen. But we say things like that, and people think, well, he don't want me to shout. And that's all the flesh wants, is just one little encouragement. I used to say, I don't care how loud you shout, just want to see how straight you walk when you come down. I don't even say that anymore. I just like to see somebody shout just to be shouting. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you keep shouting long enough, you get straightened up. Amen. Amen. The Bible said, despise not prophesying. Amen. But somebody will come in, you know, that's kind of carrying the ball against us and ain't living right and trying to tear the church up. And when the Spirit begins to move a little bit, they'll be the first ones out of the box. And you know, most of the preachers will keep their service low then because they know that if they get the first little rattle out of the box, here comes going to come the old hypocrite that with a knife in it. Cut the preacher's throat if she could. Amen. So he said, I ain't going to have that because this old gal's first one comes out. Amen. Right? But what you need to do is just instead of lowering the service, you need to raise it. Yeah? I'm telling you, just get it up above that. I never heard a wildfire killing the church. I am not afraid of wildfire. If I can't get enough of the real, amen, to put out a little wildfire, forget it. Amen. I'll go back to doing something else. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I was out in the church in North Carolina, Wan Chief, North Carolina. They'd had 21 preachers in 18 years. One big old family, they'd run over every preacher. They didn't like them, they'd run them off. They owned the church and had the money. And people feared them, so they just let them run them off. We was praying one night around the altar, and this old lady fell over in a trance. The pastor came up and whispered in the mirror, and she said, I hope that old gal loves me when she comes up out of that trance she's in. We've been out there about 7 weeks. They don't even know what a night off is. We had Monday, Saturday. We had 7 weeks. From the 15th of January to the 15th of April was 95 nights. I had five nights off. It's pretty regular. And so I stumbled out. I was standing in the church. And I stumbled out on the platform that morning for Sunday school class. And here sat that old lady back there about halfway back just chattering like a crane in the wind. I said, oh, God, how am I going to get above that this morning? I was tired. About that time, here come the little Brookie Stetson. She's full of the Holy Ghost. We went out to her house to eat dinner, and we bowed our head to ask the blessing. It was 15 minutes before we got to eat. See, what's more what I'm telling you. She came in with her hands up. And you know she just turned right in that same seat this old hypocrite was sitting on and just danced right over and just sat down by her and just hugged her neck when she did old chattering crane her just arm just come down like that. I sat right there and watched the whole thing happen. I couldn't believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like suddenly. Hallelujah. I like for people to be encouraged. Amen. See, but we have crucified those kind of people one by one, but we don't have many of them left. I've got old Dad Smith, he was a shouter. He would shout, he loved to shout. Amen. He's like me. He didn't think he'd been to church unless he'd shouted. Didn't feel like he'd preached unless he'd yelled. And so old Todd, his boy, was a pastor in church. He thought how cute it would be to have old Dad Smith hold him revival. So they started up, cranked up Sunday morning. Here come this lady out between the benches down the aisle. She went shouting. Old Dad Smith just peeled off that platform, got shouting right and dancing with her. Sunday night, same thing. Monday night, same thing. Tuesday night, same thing. Wednesday morning, I had a little prayer meeting here in the church. Todd said, I think I better talk to Dad. So he gets him off to one side. I said, Dad, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you've always shouted. You've always lived it. So I got a lot of confidence in you. But Dad, I'm going to tell you something. So this old lady you've been shouting with, said, she ain't real. And said, my folks know she ain't real. That means she would shout about $100 worth and live about 15 cents worth. And he said, Dad, if you don't quit shouting every time she shouts, they're going to think you're not real either. And he said, Todd, I knew that old lady wasn't real when she first got up and come out there on Sunday morning. I knew she wasn't real. But said, you didn't think for a minute that your old dad was going to sit there and let a hypocrite out shouting. Amen. Joshua come up on them suddenly. Whatever happened to suddenly? One of our officials up in Oklahoma was reading his text one day and somebody let out a hoop over here on this side of the church and he dropped his Bible. Ooh, Lord, help me, Jesus. The Lord just confronted them before Ezra and slew them with great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way to go up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and to Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were going into the down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died, and there were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Asher? Jasher saw the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, hasted not to go down by the whole day. And there was no day like that before or after it, that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. He's a mighty warrior, isn't he? Hallelujah. All right, turn over and I'll preach some Granberry stuff to you, to the book of Ephesians. I was telling Brother Carter, I said, you know, people don't realize, but I said, you don't need the devil if you got a flesh. Oh, I know what Brother Gibson, Brother Granberry tells us that all the time. I said, Brother Granberry preaches that. I said, oh, I wish people knew that. He said, Brother Granberry preaches that all the time. He tells us that. Amen. These fellows going around casting out devils. Amen. That's why you have to do it every week. Amen. I've seen them cast out devils this night. And then he said, I had one pass me a note one night. They won't tell you service up, see. So he passed me. He said, I had a devil cast out of me. So I believe it's returned. Put it up in a note. Sent it to the pulpit just before I got to preach. I went ahead and preached, amen, just ignored him. So finally we got him down at the altar, you know, and finally we did, yeah. He had one. He still got him, I guess. That long polished fingernails and long hair. He's a male prostitute down the street. He left her that night shouting, talking in tongues, amen. Out right next day, you know, out on the street again. Yeah. See, it wasn't the devil at all, it's flesh, amen. And the way you overcome the flesh is by living daily in the Word, and praying and seeking God, amen. You don't cast out the flesh, you crucify the flesh. Or you can't do it either. Spirit of God has to do it. Crucifixion's only a death that can't be self-inflicted. See, you've always got one hand loose. I'll tell you. Until you bring him to the Spirit of God will take care of it for you. Don't you think? You might be like Saul. You may not be able to handle Agag, but you bring him to Samuel. See what Samuel did to him. He'll hear him in pieces before the Lord. God gets you to fast, and I've told him, you don't even want me to eat. He said, that's right, big boy. Big boys make the flesh. I said, you don't want me to eat. Spirit of God said, that's right. And I tell the Lord, I said, that's right, Lord. You got him where you want him. Sock it to him. Amen. He said, I wish I could die. The Spirit of God said, I wish you would. I could use you. Hallelujah. Amen. So you bring the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will give you victory. Victory. That's a good word, too. How long been since you heard that word? Victory. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God can give you victory. I'm here to tell you, God can give you victory. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore we say, wake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's the way you stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Is submitting to one another in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we were just teasing a while ago, amen, when we said that Greensboro wouldn't let me strike out. Because you know, Lord, I will strike out if you don't help me. Amen. You know, Lord, that I'm a fake and I'm a hypocrite without you. You know that, Lord, and I know it. Lord, help me. Oh, God, I'm that man, Lord, at midnight. Lord, asking you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, that somehow, Lord, I might leave a spiritual touch upon this people that have blessed me and honored me today. Oh, Father, glory to God. 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 I used to think that being filled with the Spirit was like being a glass of water being filled. You know, you get full, and I've preached on the plus of Pentecost. You know, David said, my cup runneth over, and that sort of thing, and it is a truth. You know, you get a plus, you know, and that's what's contagious. The overspill gets over on somebody else. Amen. It's the overflow. But I've come to realize that that's not really a true analogy of the Spirit-filled life. See, the Spirit-filled life is not how much of the Spirit you have. It's how much of you the Spirit has. Amen. Now, if you're not controlled by the Spirit, you're not filled with the Spirit. Amen. If you're not controlled by the Spirit, you're not filled with the Spirit. See, a lot of people have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and not filled with the Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Ghost happened to me 41 years ago. It's a historical event. Being filled with the Spirit is a daily process. Amen. It's yielding yourself to the Lord. It's putting the Lord in charge of your life, of your daily events of your life. I read in Brumback's, I believe it was, Sound from Heaven, about the testimony of one lady during that early day outpouring of Pentecost, said that for 16 years, she had not once knowingly disobeyed the Spirit of God. Ooh, ain't that something? That was for one 16-year period, amen. She never once knowingly disobeyed the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not how much of the Spirit you've got, but how much of you does the Spirit have? Amen. A lot of folks talk in tongues, not filled with the Spirit. Amen. I've seen them get right up out of a prayer meeting and act ugly. You're only filled with the Spirit to the extent you are controlled by the Spirit. So he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is different, I guess, from living in the Spirit. He seemed to make a distinction. He said, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Hi, Brother Reno. I thought that was you out there this morning, but I couldn't tell. I think you've lost a little weight. Anyway, you look good. I didn't mean to ignore you. Amen. I'm not very smart, but I'm smarter than that. Amen. I know you slight one of God's people and you're in trouble with the Lord. I know that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so what you've got to make up your mind is, who is in charge? Amen. Are you in charge? Or is the Lord in charge? Hallelujah. See, the battle was really raging. And you know, God had already told Joshua how it was going to turn out. He always told him, I'm going to deliver them into your hand. Now, if that had been us, we'd say, hot dog, we ain't going to have to do nothing. Just because we know how it's going to turn out, don't mean that we're not going to have to fight. God's not going to give you the victory to let you sit back there and not get involved in this conflict. You got to get involved in it. See, the church is going to have the victory, and all you got to do is make up your mind whether you're going to be part of it or not. Amen. It's up to you. And you're not going to get in there and fight. And be faithful. Carry your part. Put him in charge. Let him lead you and be part of it. He's going to find somebody that will. The Lord discomfited them before Israel. And there were more that died of hailstones than the people killed that day. This great stone-throwing God of ours, hallelujah, with his mighty hand helped his people that day. Now it's time, you know, to decide who's in charge. Well, really, it's too late by this time. Out there in the thick of the battle, if you haven't made and put God in charge by then, why, you're in trouble. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, but who did he say it to? Then, read the first line, it said, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the sight of all Israel. And what did he say to the Lord? He said, son, stand thou still. I thought he was talking to the son. He was talking to the Lord. He was talking to the fellow he had put in charge of that battle. And he spake to the Lord and he said, son, stand thou still in Gibeon
on thy moon in the valley of Ajalon. He was talking to God.
Amen. These fellows will come out and take the authority. It looks good on paper and pays pretty good, I've heard. Amen. But you need to talk to the feller you put in charge. Now let's go back over here, find out where it happened. This is in the 5th chapter, the 13th verse. It came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and he saw this man with a sword drawn. And he said, "Who are you for? Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And the fellow said, "Neither one. I'm here to take charge. Now, I come as captain of the Lord's host." Amen. That's why I'm here, Joshua. I'm not on your side. I'm not on your enemy's side. I came here to fight for God. Now, maybe you want to fight with me? Fall in. Amen. Or fall out. Joshua thought he was in charge. We saw the man with the sword. He said, "I'm the captain of the Lord's host. God sent me here to be in charge of this thing." Amen. And Joshua went from a general to a buck private in less time you could take tell about. He said, "No, but as captain of the Lord's host." God's not going to be your buddy. I saw somebody win an Oscar in the Country Music Awards the other day. It wasn't an Oscar, it was some kind of award. She said, "Me and my buddy, thank you." Talking about the Lord Jesus, I guess. Well, I tell you, Jesus ain't going to be your buddy. Amen. He's a lawgiver, law abider. He's got rules and policies. You get along with him, you're going to get along his way. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what Joshua told him. "Joshua, I'm not here to baby you. I'm not here to fool with you. Amen. I'm here to take charge. Now what are you going to do?" And he fell down and said, "What do you say to me? What do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "Well, first thing, pull your shoes on." And Joshua said, "Oh, I want to do that." Joshua, "Oh, I don't feel good doing that." Did he? God said, "Pull your shoes off," which means contact with the world. Amen. If you're going to move in God's army, you're going to be sanctified. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now, you heard this, I know. Joe Granberry's preached this to you. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. It's a hostile act. Amen. So I told Joshua, first thing, pull your shoes off. And Joshua did so. First thing, you got to establish who is in charge. Amen. See, now I'd already put the fellow in charge before he ever got out there in the heat of the battle. Now, when he's been fighting and they're winning the victory, all right, and all at once he realizes he's about out of daylight, so he looks up to heaven and says to the Lord, "Son, stand thou still." He's talking to the fellow he put in charge of it by a direct act of his will. He had put him in charge of it. Hallelujah. Turn it over to him. Glory to God. Same way with paying your tithes. That's all tithes does. Just establishes ownership. Who does it belong to? Whose is it? Is it yours? Or is it God's? Is it holy or is it? Book says it's holy. Well, you can make your car payment with it if you want to, but it'll lay down there in the first night in the wagon and cry out, "I'm holy. I don't belong here. I'm the tithe." That's good preaching. Hallelujah. You got to make up your mind who's in charge. That's exactly what Paul said on the road to Damascus. He said, "Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Holy Ghost conviction." Amen.
What he's talking about was the day Stephen died. Saul had seen many Christians, fakes and hypocrites. He'd heard many of them recant. Every time he'd say, yeah, I knew the one that did it. Amen. One day he ran into the genuine article. You better thank God. Amen. And you ran into the genuine article one day. Amen. That's all the hope the world's got. It's what Jesus told him. I said, why couldn't we do it? Amen. You know, we got so cold, we don't even care why we couldn't do it. You got to give them boys credit. They want to know why they couldn't do it. We don't wonder why. We don't get it done, but we don't wonder why. They had that much going on, they at least wondered why. They asked, so why couldn't we do it? He said, because you're unbelief. Oh, really? And that's what fasting does. One thing, fasting will do is cure your unbelief. It'll take all the slough and the flurf and the out of your spirituality. See, I found out on this 40-day fast that spirituality ain't much. Come on, amen. Spirituality is doing what God said to do. Hallelujah. Amen. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. Hallelujah. What makes you a mature Christian? Doing what God wants you to do. What's a mature Christian? Paul said, strong meat belongs to them of old age. Full age. Who by reason of exercise have learned to discern between good and evil. Living letter say you learn to discern between good and evil by doing good. Then that is maturity. Growing up, doing what God said do, putting him in charge. It takes a direct act of your will. Here, Lord. Amen. You're in charge. Okay. Show you this. No. Excuse me. Lord, help me to break that habit. Amen. But this thing with fasting. Brother Granberry called me long distance. One man God knew that I had great confidence in. Another man from Oklahoma called me within a month of each other and told me, said, God called me, told me to call you and tell you that you're not obeying God. The only thing that I could do, feel what I hadn't been doing was that God had been dealing with me to fast, and I wouldn't fast. I'm going to eat. Sit down to eat, and when I eat, I knew I had sinned against the Holy Ghost. Doing just as guilty as if I'd robbed a bank or committed adultery or fornication or any other kind of uncleanness. It was disobedience. Amen. And then I tell God I wasn't going to fast, then the next time I wanted to know something about God's will, it would move out. I couldn't find it. I couldn't see it. I couldn't locate it. But God knew I wouldn't do the will of God if I knew it. What good would it do you to know right from wrong if you weren't going to do right when you knew it? When you learn to discern between right and wrong, by doing right, living right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You live right, God will show you the path of truth and righteousness. Amen. If you ain't going to live right, forget it anyway. You want to grow up? That's exactly what he's talking about. What's a mature Christian? A mature Christian is one that obeys the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's in charge? Bible said they brought Stephen's clothes and laid him down at the foot. Let me tell you this before I leave that thought. This is what I was going to tell you. Jesus told that man, said, this kind goeth not out except by fasting and prayer. James Robinson and Bert Clinton and both said, they weren't talking about the devil going out. They were talking about unbelief going out. And I kind of believe that. You always thought about this kind of devil doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. But I really believe, according to Robinson and Clendenin, that he's talking about unbelief. And I really believe that fasting will help your unbelief. I mean, it'll get you back down to reality. I mean, it won't be a bunch of fluffy stuff. Amen. It'll be rock bottom stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You can feel death setting in your flesh. My breath stunk. Amen. I just had an odor about me walking around. I'd take a bath and it'd still be there. I was dying. I knew I was dying. Hallelujah. Talk about being in touch with reality. Put you back in touch. Bring you back down to earth. Amen. Hallelujah. And the only hope in this world, he said, this kind go not out except through prayer and fasting. The only hope that this dying world has got this day is to run into somebody that is full of God. Hallelujah. That let God have his way. Man, the only hope is running into somebody that's got the genuine article. Hallelujah. We told Paul, he says, hard for you to get Stephen out of your mind. You ain't thought about nothing but Stephen. I mean, you saw his face like it had been the face of an angel. And that prayer, that prayer Stephen prayed. Oh, he said, Lord, if you've got any idea about making it hard on these fellas for what they're doing to me today, he said, I just want you to forget it. Forget it. And they brought his clothes and laid him down at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul. Hallelujah. And I don't know how much later it was. We're here the direct intervention and personal ministry of the Lord Jesus from heaven. Hallelujah. He sees a light brighter than the noonday sun. Hallelujah. Later when he was testified, he said, I heard a voice and I followed. Hallelujah. And what Peter did on the day of Pentecost, he having received the promise, has now set forth this, we do see it and hear. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Amen. People want to see something, hear something. Said, I heard a voice. And I saw a light. Paul's first question was, who are you, Lord? He said, Paul, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecuted. And the next question was, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? How long has it been since you asked the Lord that question? That's kind of shocking, isn't it? How long has it been since you acknowledged that he was in charge? Get that out, no good. I was preaching this the other day. This is not the first time I preached this. You didn't know that, did you? And it dawned upon me. It had been a while since I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why do you want? Have you checked up on that lately? Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You put him in charge. Hallelujah. Paul made more progress in 15 minutes than some folks have made in 40 years.
Hallelujah. What do you want me to do? Well, he said, first of all, go down to Straight Street. He said, I spoke to a fellow down there by the name of Ananias, and he's going to come and pray for you. God had a lot of confidence in Ananias, didn't he? And he's going to come and pray for you. And he said he's going to show you first crack out of the box what great sin you'll have to suffer for my sake. Man, this bunch today wouldn't have had much use for that. Preaching no hurt, no affliction. Amen. No sorrow. No chastisement. Yeah. One does say, I wouldn't serve a God like that. I said, you may not have to. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And get this. Scourgeth every son he receives. You know what a scourge is? Cat of nine tails. Beat you till you fall face down. Oh. That's what Simeon called him. When he'd seen the Lord Jesus Christ, he promised him, said, Simeon, you ain't going to die until you see the Lord Christ. And after he saw the Lord, he looked up and said, okay now, Lord. And that word he used for Lord meant despot. Okay, now you dictator, you heavenly dictator, now let me depart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me depart. Hallelujah. Who's in charge? Hallelujah. You got to establish that fact. Are you controlled by the Spirit? Am I boring you? Can I go on a little bit? Okay. I want you to have this. I love you so much. I used to be a cowboy, and I wasn't much of a cowboy. It was just a way of making a living. I quit school when I was in the ninth grade. I was 13 years old, and I went out on, had to stop and let the teachers catch up with me. I got so smart. It's what you learn after you know it all that really counts. Anyway, I went out and got me a job on the ranch for $95 a month, 65 really. Single boys getting 65, married men were getting 95 in a house. Well, I was living with my brother and had to pay him $30 room and board, so really, I was getting 95, I had to spend 30 of it, so you understand the situation there. Sometimes I say 95, sometimes I say 65. You say, well, which is it? Well, it was both. 95 was my gross, 65 was my net. I like that. Old Rich Little asked him. He said he was doing Ronald Reagan. He said, Mr. President, said, I'd like to pose a question. He said, you're gonna raise Social Security benefits and you're gonna lower taxes? He said, how do you propose to do that? And then he goes into Ronald Reagan. He says, well, he said, that's easy. And I'm going to keep two sets of books. So, you think I'll keep them two sets of books, but well, you better laugh while laughing's good. Laugh every while you can. We're going to get serious here in a minute. Amen. But they put me back in 4-year-old horses, and they wouldn't let you put a bridle with a big long shank on them, you know, where you could really handle them. They put you with a big old rope hackamore come right up under the eyes. When you pull back, they're like pulling on a log. I wasn't no brunt buster. I'm telling you, I had to come to town. Amen. Those rocks out there in that round lot where we was riding got to look like tombstones to me, and so I come to town. We had fine horses. My brother was a great horse trainer. He taught me how to train them. I broke one or two myself, but he'd show me how. Those fine cutting horses, you know, they take time with them. They train them. Amen. They've got ability. They've got talent. Amen. And you know, it gets to where when you train them, you can just you know, if you see somebody with a rein in this hand, one in this hand, you know they're a tenderfoot. They don't know how to ride a horse. Now, work horses, you do that. You guide them by pulling them this way. Amen. But a cutting horse, you don't. Cow pony, you don't do that. Amen. You just get that rein in your hand like this. If you want to go this way, you go this way. Amen. You go this way, you go this way. Amen. Sometimes just a shift of the weight in the saddle, and that horse will know what you want it to do. Amen. I mean, they'd turn. We had one old black horse. We'd say he could turn on a dime and give you back 8 cents. Change. Amen. And you'd teach him how to turn. And you'd run right straight down a fence row, just as close to that fence row as you could turn him. I mean, just have him running full speed, and then just turn him right back into that fence. Yeah. And I mean, that's how you teach him to turn on a dime and give you back some change. Amen. You turn him right into that fence. I mean, get those hind feet on him, just suck it right on around like that. Tell me, it's pretty. Amen. They just set it down. Just come right back. All in one fluid motion. Amen. Amen. You know, I've seen them where just the slightest touch of pressure on that with that rein, you know, would direct that horse. I've seen them pull the bridle off. Yeah, and they get in that herd and start bringing that old cow out to the edge, and she'd try to cut back that old horse. He'd know which one it was, and I mean, without a bridle. Just a little shift of the weight in that saddle. Just knowing what that fellow wanted to do, amen. That horse could do it. And I thought, oh, God. Oh, God. Would you like to be that controlled of the Holy Ghost? Amen. And just the slightest touch of the rein, amen, could change direction. It'll be translated into obedience and power to the slightest nudge of the Spirit of God. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's 7 points. To be filled with the Spirit implies implies one thing, that the Spirit has been given. Number two, it implies the Spirit has been giving largely. Number three implies he who is filled with the Spirit is to be possessed by the Spirit's graces. See, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. Against such there is no law. See, it's imperative that you have that. God. Amen. Don't worry about the power. Worry about this. See, we try to go in the back door. We want the power. Get this. You'll have all the power you want. Get this. Get this. Get this. Be sweet. I mean, see, you can't run your mouth off all the time you want to and expect God to bless you. Amen, right? James said, if man bridles not his tongue, I suppose a woman too. Amen. His religion is vain. Vain. Can't get a mouth off, pop off, run over the mouth. Amen. Expect God to use you. Amen. And you can't quench the Spirit and expect God to use you. See, he's able to do exceeding abundantly all that we're able to ask or think. That's all we ever quote of that verse. You know what the next part of it says? According to the power that worketh in us. It's going to be a way that you let God have his way with you, whether you're going to be able to do great and mighty things through you or not. Amen. If you're going to quench the Spirit, draw back, hold back, won't live for God, forget about God doing great things for you. It will not happen. It will not happen. To be filled with the Spirit is to be wholly guided by His influence. To be filled with the Spirit means we're subject to the control of the Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is the instrument that God's going to use to fulfill His mission in this earth. It's going to be somebody
It's been yielded to the Spirit. Hallelujah. That God's going to use. To be filled with the Spirit means to have God as the only portion of the soul. Hallelujah. To be filled with the Spirit is to be wholly taken up with the Lord. I remember Brother J.R. Flower telling about how he used to stay in a little, not Brother E.S. Williams, stayed in little apartments with nothing to eat hardly. They said they'd spend days fasting and praying. And said the Lord would grace our meetings. And he said, to tell you the truth, we needed very little else. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. Lord, help us. God, help us today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we won't go till the house is paid for. But to tell me, old Brother Palmer, they started the work down here in Beaumont someplace. I heard Bert Clendon tell about it. For 6 weeks, they didn't eat anything but raw turnips. Preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He said, don't you know that old man's over yonder in eternity somewhere still clipping the coupons off that investment? Who's in charge? Come on, musicians. Please help me. Please help me. Pretty please. Pretty please. You know, this is, where's the piano player? Where's the organist? Okay. I figure maybe they're wanting to pray. I hope so. But the hand of the Lord, he said, is mighty. The hand of the Lord is mighty. And I learned that this, once in a while, you just got to make sure that you know who's in charge. Amen. Come back to Gilgal. You know, Gilgal was the headquarters. That lines up with the New Testament baptism in the Holy Ghost. That was the first thing they got after they got across Jordan, after they got saved, was Gilgal. That was their headquarters. And 6 or 7 times in these few chapters, Joshua had to go back to Gilgal. Hallelujah. Check with headquarters. Hallelujah. My oldest boy called me the other day. You know, we get in sad shape sometimes. We get in trouble in our homes. Sometimes I think I need a new woman. Sometimes she thinks she needs a new husband. Right? Are y'all like that? Anybody here like that? So now I need a new job. I need a vacation. I need some time off. I need to rest. And I got such a kick out of it because I've known it for 20 years, but my oldest boy, Rusty, he's coming in a little bit more like he's supposed to be. And they always get on my case because when I get together with my kids, I won't have church. Let's have church. If y'all come to my house, I'll tell you what, I'll announce revival and we'll have services. Oh, Dad! We want to go skiing. We want to go snowmobiling. We want to go snowmobiling when you could have church? What's wrong with you? So he told me, he said, oh, Dad, said, I see what you mean now. I said, nothing thrills me like my kids praying in the altar. sin and seek the Lord. Amen. Singing for Jesus. Amen. I thought, Lord, them two big old boys and that pretty woman singing. I thought that Joe Granberry, God been so much better than him than he really deserves. It's just, it's unreal. Hey, it don't keep you from enjoying it, though, does it? Amen. Hallelujah. And so he'd been out there 10 months where he was working as an assistant. They hadn't missed one service. So they give him his vacation a little bit early so he could go during the summertime. And he went out to California, went to Disneyland, spent a bunch of money, and come back. He called me when he got back. He said, yeah, I had a good time, Dad. But he said, I found out a vacation was not what I needed. He said, the Lord touched me in a prayer meeting this morning. He said, that's what I was needing all the time. Just for him to lay his hand on me. To lay his mighty, you know, I told you first in the book, I said, the hand of the Lord is mighty. The old Indian's version of the 23rd Psalm said, he lays his hand on my head and all the tired is gone. Well, my privilege to be in this area when old Brother Joe Savelle died, Philip Hogan and a bunch of them come from. Was you there, Brother Renault, to Joe Savelle's funeral? The kids, you know, sang, play, yeah, old Paul, they played the organ and sang at your dad's funeral. Yeah, I guess it's in long in the summertime somewhere. I don't know, just July, I believe. And then they invited me back to the Trinity Tabernacle in January for some services. And I saw Sister Savelle sitting out there, and boy, she had the victory. She just shining, you know, and rejoicing. And I made mention of the fact from the pulpit how wonderful it was to see Sister Savelle with such great victory after having suffered such a great loss of her husband. So she came up after service and volunteered this information. She said, boy, Brother Reed said, after Daddy went to heaven, she said, I'm telling you, it was bad. She said, especially at night. She said, I couldn't hardly put one foot in front of the other. Oh, I didn't know for a while if I was going to make it. But she said, Brother Reed, on the first day of January this year, she said, God touched me. And you can tell God had touched her too, boy. It showed on her face. Hallelujah. That's what you need tonight. That's all you need. You don't need a new woman suit. God touching you can get along with anybody. Amen. You don't need a new husband. Daniel lived it in the lion's den. Shoot, man. What do you mean? There's victory in Jesus. You put him in charge of it. Glory to God. He'll lift you up. He'll feed you with honey out of the rock. He'll spread a table before you. In the presence of your enemy, there'll be no way the enemy can get the victory over you. Hallelujah. You above as high as a kite on the 4th of July. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you this. I'll go. J.W. Tucker, one of our great missionaries, died in the Congo at the hands of rebel forces. They killed him and threw him in the bayou. But before that, they had him under house arrest down there in a little Catholic compound. Nanjin and his wife would call down there every day and talk to him, see if he needed anything. She called on her one day. Excuse me. The little Catholic sister answered the phone. She said, yes, and how is my husband today? And it was the little Catholic sister that said, Well, he is in heaven. Hallelujah. He is in heaven. I guess she is too by now. But she would call down there in the days when he was kept under house arrest. Baby, can I get you anything? Need some shaving cream, toothpaste, cookie? What can I bring you to make your stay more comfortable? And she said without fail, inevitably, and every time, his answer would be, no, baby. All I really need, he said, is just the assurance of his presence. That's all. That's all. That's all I really need. Hallelujah. Just to know that he's here and he's in charge. Is he in charge of your life tonight? For him to be in charge is going to take a direct act of your will. This is what it took for Joshua. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, pull your shoes off, man. Off they came. First question, Paul, what do you want me to do? Who are you? What do you want me to do? Amen. Glory to God. Let's stand. What are we going to sing? What are we going to sing? I thought of one a while ago, I forgot it. I'm going to live the way he wants me.